Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Paulette Young, your host, and I see Selena Lindsay's on the line, and our guest speaker, Barbara's on, and there's another person on here, too. We're going to be talking about water and children. How safe are they? Drowning is the leading cause of death in children 1 to 4 years of age. Second leading cause of death is unintentional injury death for children 5 to 14 years old. Drowning can happen in seconds, and it's often silent and can happen at any time. It can happen where there is excess water, like lakes, ocean, rivers, bucket of water, a boat, etc. Guest speaker tonight will be Barbara Coloroso. She's an international speaker on parenting, water safety, and a whole host of topics. She's phenomenal. So join us tonight. If you called in on the number 858-76-4936, if you want to speak, you have to press 1, and then we can hear you. When the speaker is speaking, if I notice there's noise coming from your number, I will have to move it over where you won't be able to speak, but you'll be able to hear. So I like for if the speaker is speaking, for us to show respect, and if someone else is speaking, I need your background to be quiet. Hi, Barbara. How are you?
I'm good, Paulette. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for
an important topic, and I don't consider myself an expert on it, although I'll give you a little bit of my history. I'm a former WSI, water safety instructor, but I began, I love to swim, and we all in my family, we were a family of 5 kids, we had a free swimming pool in our town. So growing up very poor, that was an exciting place to be, but we also had lakes and rivers that flooded regularly. So my mom, who had learned to swim in the ocean in New York, felt it was real important from the time we were very young to learn to swim, but more than that, to learn to survive in a water environment. I didn't see the ocean for a long, long time. And that's a whole different issue that we need to cover this evening. But we would go daily. It was after we did our chores, we would get to go to the public swimming pool. And at 13, I was able to sign up for a water safety course. And then at 15, could work as a lifeguard. The ages have all changed. They're now a little older, although we have a dearth of lifeguards today. And I would recommend anybody who is a good, strong swimmer to go through the certification process, if for nothing else, to be present for anyone who needs your help. But also, it can be a wonderful job. Now, as a water safety instructor, my first assignment, and this is before I was old enough to go and guard in the larger pool, was the kiddie pool. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. It was not. Parents are sitting there gabbing with their friends, and I was regularly getting off the guard chair to the point where I didn't even sit on the guard chair. I just walked around the kiddie pool because little ones can topple so quickly and lose their footing, and then they're floating face down in the water. While a parent is gabbing away, or older brother or sister is supposed to be on guard. And I'd often run in, grab this little one, got him out very quickly because it was a small kiddie pool, and return them to the parents. And many of them just kind of look at Johnny, you shouldn't do that. You need to be more careful. No, no, mom, dad, brother, sister, you need to pay attention. It can happen that quickly. And so, number one, you learn to swim as a parent. If you haven't already learned to swim, take lessons with your, even your infant children can now
get in the pool and learn some safety. But it's real important that you learn some do's and don'ts yourself. But are you a... Now, I am 75. I would not go after in the water anyone much stronger. And I say that because I...
Oh, did you have a headache?
I'm sorry?
Silence your background, whoever that is, please.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. As a lifeguard, it was real important for us to be aware of safety. But I also felt as an adult and a parent that I needed to be very alert. So whenever our children were swimming with their friends, I always was there, always in a swimsuit, perhaps with a throwover cover and the like, to be on alert so that they had somebody there who knew what to do. But I also wanted to teach them at a very young age some basic rules. The very first one is to learn to swim and never, ever swim alone. I personally would not go to a pool, a recreational pool, where nobody else is around and it's time for adult swimming and you could go on your own. No, things can happen. You can get a cramp in your leg. You can suddenly gasp for water in your lungs. You don't need to be swimming alone. But I want to teach young children, never swim alone. Now, if you're out there by yourself, make sure there is someone capable who's standing on the shore, on the edge of the pool, and the like. Always there will be somebody. I always recommend that you swim with a buddy. And when they're young, the buddy plus the adult. Who could help them if they got in trouble. And if they're in, they're very young, they're learning to swim, even in the pool, I would recommend they wear a United States Coast Guard approved jacket, safety jacket, so that it fits them right, it's proper for their weight and their height and their age. But in the pool, even if there are lifeguards around, a young child can go under so quickly. And obey, I want to teach the children, one of the things it says is don't run. And there's a reason for that. You can slip, crack your head. And so walking in any area where there might be water in pool, there's pool safety, there's ocean safety, there's river safety, there's lake safety. But these apply to all of those, obeying hazard signs. If it says riptide, you don't want to be there. If it says caution, riptides, find another place to swim. Those riptides can pull you out very quickly. And swim only in a designated place. For swimming, you will often see on lakes and rivers and the like where this is not for swimming. Obey those kinds of signs. And go in an ocean, you would go where there are lifeguards, visibly present and paying attention. I want to remind young people that, especially as they're older and they feel like they have the whole world at their feet, that you have to be careful, especially when they go to rivers or lakes, for drop-offs. And so if you have taught them to swim, taught them to do nothing but tread water if they need to float on their back. These can be very important survival tools for them. I want them to understand that they have...
Yes. Barbara, can I stop you for about maybe, because the audience may, in between, want to ask a few questions? I know I had a couple. Because reading on the topic, it mentioned parents, even if they know how to swim, I just want your opinion on this. It wouldn't hurt to take some refresher courses on swimming.
The Red Cross have wonderful courses for young children and for teens and for adults. And I would recommend any adult with a child, you can go online and do these courses online now. that will help you and prep you for activities that you can do in the water. And I'm going to later on tonight explain some of the basic tools that you can have around you, because one of the things that we want to be sure to understand is the concept of reach and throw. Don't go in unless you are absolutely sure of your own abilities and who that person is that you're trying to rescue. When I, a little background here, I was a nun, and I went in with my water safety instructor course, and of course as a nun, we were in our full garb, but I worked in an institute for St. Coletta's for mentally handicapped children, and Rose Kennedy, the daughter, the Kennedy daughter was there, and a bunch of university students, all of them very good swimmers, were working with the young children with handicaps, and I'm walking by the pool in my full garb, and one of the students had a seizure, and the university student was clueless, and the kid was panicking, the university student was panicking. I quickly got my shoes off, but that was it. Veil was still on, full habit, and I went into the water to grab the kid. I figured the university student would be fine. He could make it out. But I grabbed the kid, and I could get him over to the side, and my habit was soaked. It was at that point that my novice director said, you know what, I think you can lifeguard for us. Just you'll have to wear your black robe, my nightgown robe, over a swimming suit, and you can throw that off very quickly if you need to go in the water. Because they really did, with children with special needs, need to have it. So I lifeguarded then. When I left the convent, I no longer had my WSI. You have to renew it regularly. And my water instructor, Tess Malumpe, well known for her work in water safety at University of Northern Colorado, had us all rescue the football players. And I had one fight me so bad in my test that I pushed him away and I knew I had failed. And she said, no, you did exactly what you needed to do. I didn't know that. What you needed to do, if somebody is that strong and can fight that hard, you get out of there and find something to throw them, whether it's a floatable tool or a pole. But you don't try to rescue somebody who can fight that hard, because they, you can calm them down at a distance and help them get themselves out of the pool. So that was a good lesson for me to learn. And now at 75, I make sure when I am with any of my grandchildren who are now older and venturing out as teenagers, make sure that they know the safety, that they are never swimming alone, that they check the hazards, that they know that they don't know if there's a rock that they're going to be diving into. You don't dive into water if you don't know what's at the bottom. No shallow diving. There's a reason there are safety rules around that. It's look before you leap or dive, and I say not only look before you leap or dive, but go around and feel the water before you ever attempt to dive. I want to be sure that I can see the bottom. As a lifeguard, if I couldn't see the bottom, I wouldn't want a lifeguard there, because a child can go under very quickly and be on the bottom and panicked. We have such a thing as dry drowning, where kids are playing that game of hold your breath, and it's so important that you teach them not to do that. So you want to be sure that you look out for others. I want to teach my young children, the grandchildren who are now grown, I always taught them to look out for others. They taught my own children, two of whom were lifeguards in their teen years, to look out for others, that somebody wants to do something crazy, stand up and speak out. No, that doesn't look safe. Assert the fact that you are a trained WSI. Teenagers can go through that course and feel so good about their ability to save someone, but they will also learn, as I had to learn, that there are things you can do first. Throw something in, for especially an older person that's in trouble, a teenager and the like. Little ones, you can run in and grab them. If they're in shallow water, they can get in trouble, but you can go in and get them to the side. And I would also recommend once you get them to the side that you allow them supervised to go back in and try it again so they don't develop a fear of the water. And you want to check if any of you have a pool in your own home. It needs to be fenced in, and you need to alarm your doors so that you know if a young child has attempted to walk outside without supervision, because it takes just seconds. I saw a video clip taken from a Ring camera where a father was talking to somebody and his little one slipped over to the edge of the pool in seconds, and he had to scramble to go grab him. It can happen that quickly. And it doesn't take long for kids to aspirate to get the water in their lungs. So we have to make sure we have alarmed the doors. We make sure we always have a pole and a life preserver that you can throw out, especially if you have young teens around who are goofing off and the like. You want to be sure that everyone knows that we're responsible for one another. Anyone's in danger, throw them that life preserver. And make sure that there's always a pole there, a fairly long pole, that you could reach out and for them to grab. Those are little safety tips that you want. So I'm going to ask, is there anyone who has any questions in regards to the safety in the water? How about going about? Red Cross has wonderful programs. And the California, if you go to their website, you will find Albert and Einstein. You can remember that with Albert and Einstein, are little safety characters and can help young people online learn the safety tips when they're near water. So I'm going to see, does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, I was reading. There's a habit, and I can go anywhere. They're having a pool party and stuff like that. And I know the U.S. Coast Guard doesn't recommend those floaties that the kids put on their arms and wings because
yes.
they said they come off.
Yes,
my question is, why are the stores allowed to sell that product when it's a safety hazard?
Good question. And it would be something whenever I see a child with a floaty, I'm super alert. I'm not mm-hmm. their parent or their grandparent. I would be super alert. I'm not going to say to a parent, you know, those aren't safe, but I would caution them that could be a hazard to your child that you need to have for that child. You need to have a U.S. Coast Guard approved jacket. They're not that expensive. I've seen them available in places, thrift stores and the like, secondhand stores. Our kids have outgrown. Anytime our kids outgrew ours, we made sure we found somebody smaller, made sure they fit. Yes, the floaties and those little tubes that children, they can so quickly slip out of those. And the little floaty tubes.
They should be taken off the market. Since it's a hazard, kids drown from those things. My grandkids have those floaties. If I hadn't read it, I wouldn't know it. Only because we're doing this thing on water safety is why I found out. It should be out of the store.
You will not find it online.
Be sold.
And that's something you could take on as a cause. I'm always very cautious of them. I will tell parents that I know that I'm concerned that the safety jacket is far safer. And if you get children in the habit of wearing them around water, and I know when they get in a boat, when they're at a lake and the like, they will have already been accustomed to those. And when they are playing in a water where they can reach the bottom, and they have certain skills, that jacket can come off in a pool. But I want them to know, you go in a river or a lake, you get on a boat, and this is where you and I have to walk our talk and talk our walk. We put on our jackets as well. I'm a kayaker. I love to kayak. But I would never get in a sailboat or a kayak without a jacket. Oh, we're just going out on this small lake. Jackets on. My grandchildren all knew that that was Grandma's rule, and it wasn't only Grandma's rule. But if we went online to the Red Cross programs, and there, again, I can't impress upon you how important it is to go to your own state website. And I know California has a wonderful one, and I live in Colorado, but I've often looked at the California website on water safety. They have oceans, rivers, and swimming pools, and a lot more swimming pools than we have here in Colorado. So there's a lot of safety ideas. And one of the most important ones is, you know, learning to swim and then swim with a buddy, never swim alone. Beware of the area around you and beware of the people around you, that someone can get in trouble. Just recently, some boys drowned in Utah. They slipped under the water. These were all very healthy, athletic boys. Something happened, whether they gulped water, they panicked, they wore themselves out, no one knows, but they're dead. It can happen that quickly. And so when teenagers say to me, I don't need one to get in the boat, I said, well, you're not getting in the boat then, because you need to be safe. Something could happen if you're in those people, those of you who are in northern waters, that cold water. You can get hypothermia so quickly. So being tuned in, we've had deaths this year in our lakes that didn't freeze over, but the very outskirts did. We had young people go in. Luckily, there were some people to save everyone but one. But that one death matters. And they were young children. And so it's so important that if somebody had had a pole, somebody had, first of all, not walked on the ice, that was thin, and you don't go in. I can't impress on children. You want to go in and help your friend, but reach and throw, don't go, is the motto of the Red Cross. Only if you are trained, there's nothing you can hand them, and you don't have a pole. With my skills, I would be very comfortable having lifeguarded so many years. Get up to speed on things you can do to look around and say, oh, people are using glass at the pool. That's not a good idea. So we're not going to swim there. And you can go to the manager and say, somebody's got a glass container, which can shut the pool down if it should break, and the like. Safety in terms of learning to dive on a diving board, looking out for the kid below you, making sure they're clear of the place, and the like. But Paula, you bring up a point about all these little fun things that can go in the water, that may not be safe for children. And I see so many young people with them. And then parents are turning a blind eye and thinking, oh, my kid's safe because they have those little floaties on their arms.
Parents don't know those things aren't safe. I didn't know the floaties weren't safe. I didn't know putting those arm floaties on. I didn't know they can come off. I didn't know that the wing floaty, too, those things can come off. That's not like putting on a life jacket. And
not
the U.S. Coast Guards are 100% against it. Because we're losing lives. The parents don't know. It looks cute. It looks safe. And then now I'm learning it's not safe, and it needs to be off the market.
And I think somebody could take that on terms of going to the major distributors that have them. Oh, but they are safe. But you know what the caveat always is? You've got to be watching your kids. And I think one of the mistakes is you put them on and you assume your kid is safe. There's
safe,
so much other kids can come by. And,
be safe. Yes.
Yeah. Safety is number one. And then teaching them how to swim. I had an incident. My sister, who had her children first before the rest of us, my older sister, was adamant about taking her firstborn to the little swimming lessons for 6 months old on up, where they get familiar with the water and the like. But by two, he had some good little strokes down. He also knew how to tread water. And he was on his grandpa's farm, and there was a cow trough with water. And he climbed into it and was hanging on for dear life on the side. But when he fell in, he knew that he could tread and get himself over to the edge. And he was just a little over two. My sister was mortified that, you know, he would even think of going there, but it drew, you know, water draws kids. And she was so lucky that she had him in basic skills. And so people with kids on farms need to be aware of any water source that children could be drawn to. And if it is that there's some kind of grandpa drained that right away and put a fence around where the cows were, because he could have lost his grandson very quickly had grandson not been able to get to the edge and grab on and yell for mama. And so I think we need to, first of all, learn ourselves, teach ourselves basic safety skills. WSI, if you can, you'll be a hit at swimming pools. You may not get much time in the water, but if you have garden parties and the like with swimming pools, as so many states have, and with the backyard pool, you'll be hyper-vigilant because you'll know what to do. And somebody can aspirate very quickly with the water, and you would be able to get them out and take care of them. I would also encourage any of you who have children that you learn CPR, and that usually comes along with the water safety instructor course that you could take. But even if you didn't take that, to learn to do the basic CPR. CPR, I have just gone back to refresh my skills. And again, I'm 75 because I never know when I might be needed and I want to be prepared. The new CPR pressure is very, very different now. It's very simple. A teenager can learn to do it with the proper pressure. And you as a parent could learn to do it. You never know when you may need it. It could be another adult who got in trouble in the water. And even sticking a pole out, they can grab it, or a life preserver, and you can pull them in. But if they've gulped so much, they may indeed need that, or somebody just with heat stroke today. Knowing the signs of those kinds of things. I think we have warnings out here in Colorado and in Texas right now with the heat that that's around water. We tend to think, well, we'll just go in and cool off. But you get a little flaky when you're suffering from heat, thermal attack that can result in a loss of good sense, we call it. You know, you're not thinking clearly, and you get in the water to cool off, it can be a dangerous thing. So we need to be tuned into that, and I can't impress upon how important it is that you learn to swim, you learn the safety tools, and you teach your children those. So as they grow older, you increase their responsibilities, decision-making, and decrease the limits and boundaries. But you've helped internalize those limits and boundaries where they look around to see if there's hazards and the like. The last thing I'll say about teens, it's so important that you don't ever mix drinking with water activities. Not a good mix at all. Your judgment is affected by that, and you might do more daring kinds of things. It's just not good to mix alcohol. Alcohol, sun, and water are not good mixes. Any other questions? or what?
Yeah, if you cover, like when you're at the ocean, you have, you know, the plant, what do you call it, algae and stuff like that, where you can, I guess, get entangled or something. Because I read one article where it talks about pay attention in the water. And one other thing, because in the area of Oxnard, I had an aunt that used to live there, and she was down at the ocean. But when we would go to get in the water, at least that part, it was easy to sink for some reason. There was no warning signs that it was an unstable coastline, and the water be halfway up your body because it's almost it's like a sinkhole. But there was, and it was scary. So I just figured in that one area, it was not, the shoreline was not stable.
Yeah,
well, Paulette,
and that's one of the things about ocean.
Barbara had it correct when she said, wherever there's a body of water, and some of the main things, since we're in California, and it's always posted, but people fail to read the sign, and they get caught in riptides, and they want to swim when it's already, they've been told that we're going to have high tide. These are things that, you know, safety features that people need to become more aware of. And some of the other main things to me, since I'm an outdoor person, the silliest things I ever see is people with pets. And as Barbara said, children are attracted to water. And when their pet takes a dive, guess where your child goes to save their pet? And so one of the key things for people when they go to water, on your pet, on the dog. People think, well, the dog knows how to swim. Well, guess what? The dog does the same thing the human being does. They get tired. And something happens sometimes, and the pet will drown. And it's a simple answer. Just put a safety jacket on your child and on the pet. And always, I don't care where there's a body of water, I'm an outdoor person. I've been around a farm and come and find a two-year-old floating in the horse trough because it attracts them, because oftentimes in horse trough they put goldfish to keep the water clear. And these things attract children. And the beach right now is the main place that kids go to and people go to because it's hot. And these are places that some of the main things is to be aware of the signs. As Barbara said, go to training, the WSI. Become aware of what you should do, and simple items such as a cooler. Basic safety features that will keep you afloat if it's around, because a lot of simple things will save your life in the water.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. And there are some basic do's and don'ts around beaches. And, you know, we are a coastal country. We have it on three parts of our country. And the first thing you need to do to prevent drowning in open water is learning how to swim. Duh. Next is to put, with those life-saving skills, and a life jacket could prevent 88% of the accidents to becoming deaths. So that's a high statistic. And open water, you're speaking about open water, and that's such an important thing. Swim in a designated swimming area. You mentioned that. You know, if the signs are there, do not swim here, do not. And that's teaching them very young to obey those kind of things and that there is a reason. When in doubt, the slogan is, the Red Cross has, when in doubt, get out. If it doesn't feel right, if suddenly the water is behaving in an odd way, whether it's a current or rain starting to fall, or your body is getting tired, or you're listening to your gut that this is not good. Your body wants to keep you alive, and so your gut will speak to you. Be aware of that and get out. You could get fatigue. You could get muscle cramps. Return to the water another day. It's always a good thing to trust your instincts. Know the weather and water conditions. We do not have to deal as much in Colorado with this when it comes to pool safety.
but we have sudden lightning storms in the mountains and the like, and that affect the rivers and the lakes in the mountains. So know your weather and water conditions. If the water temperature is low, you want to get in a wetsuit. Now, you say, well, I'm not going to put a child in a wetsuit, so then perhaps they shouldn't be going in that colder water. They don't regulate any as easily as we do. And don't stay too long in the water if you're dealing with cold water. And, you know, it's really not safe. As much as we love to be out in the rain, it's not a good idea to swim in the rain if there is thunder or lightning. And then if the weather should change in open water, get back to the shore as soon as you can. Then what you want to be sure that you do is you wear those safety approved life vests. Not just for young swimmers, weak swimmers, and everyone needs to be wearing a life jacket. And you can go to ndpa.org. If you've got teenagers bucking you about not wearing a life jacket whenever they are in or around water, it's not cool, it'll make a funny tan. It is not you saying it. It's an organization for water safety. It's telling them that this is when you should put it on. And that's why if they balk at it, then say, okay, why don't you go do a water safety instructor course? Because one of the things they'll tell you, too, is that if you're going to be spending a lot of time in the water, you need that jacket on. And then it's real important that you have a plan for emergencies. They're going to come up. Have you thought of it? Have you worked with your young children? You're supervising them. So have you looked at the emergencies that could happen? As your teen begins to wander out on their own, their preteen and the like, you want to make sure they understand, just as you have demonstrated to them, you have a plan for emergencies. Do they have a plan? It empowers them. We want to teach children that you have agency in your life. What you do matters. So if there are emergencies that can come up, think about it in advance. Big thing is you don't go out alone and you swim with a buddy. But you also tell someone where you're going and have someone watching on the shore. Now you think, well, that can be a real crowd bummer if we have to have one of us stay out. No, it's safe. And keeping an eye on the others. And you can buddy it where I'll be on the shore with, I'm speaking as a teenager, I'll be on the shore for a while watching and then I can go out and play while somebody else is just keeping an eye. And my grandkids will say, Grandma, will you come? Because you know what? This is something I've ingrained in them at a very young age. Their parents have as well because it was ingrained in them about water safety. Drownings happen so quickly and can be so devastating. And when you're teaching them all of these things, and they are developing what I call a backbone around water safety, that actually flows into other areas of their lives. When they will be able to say, okay, I'll stand on the shore, I'll keep an eye out. They may also be thinking, I'm going to keep an eye out at the pool party. I'm going to keep an eye out and seeing if one of my buddies is drinking too much. It doesn't only have to be around water. It flows out into other areas when you teach them that you not only have an ability and agency, you have responsibility. And plan for every possible incident that you can think of in the various areas that they might go. And it's different in the ocean than in a river. Our rivers in Colorado, in the springtime, the runoff is very fast and hazardous for even venturing in with your feet, just dipping into it. You can be swept away so quickly. In the fall, when it's more relaxed, they can understand the seasons and when it's good. Whitewater rafting is very good in the spring. Not such a good idea if you're just walking along the shore and you'd like to dip in a little bit during that time. So having them plan for it. And again, back to the ocean, have children learn to swim parallel to the shore, not to be keeping swimming out, because you can be taken out, get disoriented very quickly, and then get too far out and not have the strength to come back. And so swimming parallel to the shore is an important thing for young people to learn. Again, practicing it yourself. All of this stuff involves you walking that talk and there and talking that walk. And then you want to look, teach children to look before they leap or dive. I always say look before you do it and then check it out physically before you do it. And realize there's a drop-off there or there is a rock there or that is not as deep as you thought it was. And know your own limits. I want to teach children this in all areas of life, to know their own limits, their abilities. And the more skilled they are and the more safety tools they have in their toolbox, they will be less likely to take those risks that you see so often with young teens. Our responsibility is to help our young people before the teen years by the way we react and what we're teaching them. But when they're venturing out again on their own, they will have those years that you have been with them to help them internalize their ability to know their own limits, know their own abilities, and having planned for any kind of emergency that will have come up. Any other questions?
This is the time to get your questions answered. Barbara,
okay.
I had looked up on a global basis, and I guess Uganda in Africa, I guess, have the highest drowning rate, but I don't know why. But Africa as a continent, it's on a global basis, has the highest death rate when it comes to drowning.
Well, having worked in Africa, I think part of it is the not starting at a very young age and giving them the tools for survival, teaching them to swim, because many of their own parents had not developed that skill. Many were working from the time they were young teens. Out in the fields and the coffee plantations and the like in Africa. And also where there is new wealth and swimming pools have gotten to be a popular thing. The training wasn't there for the children. And it's not uncommon in, I was in Rwanda, with little ones being on their own or supervising a seven-year-old, supervising a three, four-year-old. And those are parenting issues that need to change. And I have a good friend, Mark Tewksbury, the Olympic gold medalist. He has worked with the Canadian Red Cross because Canada has a fairly high drowning rate as well, to make sure that every child from a very young age learns to swim and learns basic safety and learns how to handle emergencies. So kudos to him for taking that on as an Olympic gold medalist and saying this is a priority. Obviously, he's a powerful swimmer, but it is a priority for him that young children can be safe around all the different kinds of water that exists in Canada and here in the States. I do want to remind parents how important it is. You may not have a pool in your backyard, but you've been invited or your children have been invited. You want to be sure that the fence and a working gate stay shut. Is there a weight-bearing pool cover? I mean, children can slip below a pool cover very quickly, do they have a weight-bearing one? If it's not weight-bearing, the child can get into it, and then the crease will actually cause them to slip under it. And you would not see them. They would very quickly drown, and you would have this horrible tragedy on your hands. And who is going to be there not in the water? It's so important that if your child's going over to swim at another person's pool, is there somebody who is going to be there watching all the time, not running in and out of the house and the like, but who is there? And if they say, well, oh, we don't have anybody, volunteer yourself to go over. And you can watch how your kids socialize and enjoy, and also talk to them a bit about water safety and the like. But I think we need to check out our neighbor's pool, the community pool. You know, and usually they have certain guidelines. I believe that family pools should have to follow the similar guidelines to a community pool. So go and check out if you have a pool or your friend has a pool. What are the guidelines for them? And how many people in the pool? What kind of activities can happen? It's good learning and training for young people. And again, I can't impress for young people how important it is. Here's the pole. Here's a lifesaver that you can throw out that has a long rope on it. So let's practice that for fun and see if you can lasso your friends in the pool, making it a game. But knowing that that is always there. So on your own private pool, do you have a long pole available? Do you have we used to call them lifesavers, or maybe another name for them now. And then you obey any rules that are there. They're there to keep you safe. Rules are developed for two reasons in all areas of our lives, for safety and how we relate to other human beings. For instance, two yellow lines down the road mean do not pass. I trust you'll stay on your side, you trust I'll stay on my side. There's a lot of trust in rules, but that rule isn't there. The state didn't make that rule, two yellow lines, just to annoy us. It's because it's not safe to pass. When they say no running at a public swimming pool, there's a reason for that. When they have a shallow end and do not go beyond this end if you are not an experienced swimmer. Do they have a floaty across the pool but with buoys on it so that they know that you don't go any further than this if you're not tall enough and you don't have the swimming skills? Those kinds of things. We can make sure that our community stays safe. And Paulette, I can't impress upon how important it is to get active in your community and go to the places that are selling those little arm floaties and say, how safe are they? Have they been tested? And are you aware of the statistics of how quickly a child can slip under and the like? So those are the basics of it. But it's caring about other human beings and caring about yourself. And knowing the dangers. Water is a wonderful thing. It can be so relaxing and invigorating and a healthy way to even train in water. But you need to know how to be safe first and know your own limits. So do we have, we're almost out of time. Do we have any more questions, anything pressing? If you go anybody online, there are so I'm going to give you a few websites. I pulled a few today to make sure they were still active. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, who we know quite well because of our recent pandemic, they have a water safety. And with it, they have the tips that are so common that I've mentioned here. You know, take a friend along, swim in a supervised, watched area, and don't go out exploring in unmarked areas, and never do it alone. Know to swim and know your own limits and wear a life jacket when you're out in any kind of watercraft at all. So the Center for Disease Control and Prevention is cdc.gov. Great information for parents. And I mentioned this one before, but I didn't explain what it was. The ndpa.org. It's the National Drowning Prevention Alliance. It started when drowning started to tick up in the 1900s, but it's still very active in water sources. There are 5 water safety stories to engage young children in learning how to be safe from there, and you can get that right there at ndpa.org. It has phenomenal safety stories that kids often learn through stories, and it's a good thing for them to be aware of. And then, of course, there is for instance, our own state. We have the Colorado Council for Water Safety and California, as I mentioned, that one website for them. And the National Safety Council has a whole thing on drowning, and that's nsc.org. It just talks very basically. It'll clue you in of things you, oh, I didn't know that, or I do know that, and you can affirm for yourself that, yeah, that's right, but I hadn't thought to teach my children about it. And there's one for teens, and it's kidshealth.org with kids' health and teens in the water, where you can have them, again, they don't always like to listen to mom and dad about this. But when this is these activities are here that kids can watch and the steps to remind them. And it's not just mom and dad harping on this, that it's really somebody else here who cares about you being safe out in the water as a teenager. And then, again, Massachusetts has developed. They're a coastal state, Massachusetts.gov. Has water safety for everyone. And they go through early childhood all the way up through elders and swimming and some of the cautions. As I grow older, and I was a strong swimmer, and I still consider myself strong, but I know my limits. And I would do the, you know, to throw something in more readily than I would go in full bore. As I would have as a younger person. So check out your own state. Check out the government sites and some of these other websites that I just mentioned here. It will give you, and interesting, as I went through all these in preparation for this, you will begin to see that a lot of these have the same kinds of lists. The lists that I've mentioned, most of mine were taken from the Red Cross. The National Red Cross, they're the leaders in swim safety. They are the ones that provide the courses. But each state has taken it upon themselves because, as Paulette mentioned, the risk of drowning and the number of children who drown in our country, which is absolutely preventable.
Yeah, it's so sad when it's preventable. Because one of my friends...
It all is.
Her son passed away. Then people weren't putting alarms on. I'm glad you mentioned that about having an alarm on your door so you know when the child leaves out, because that's what happened to their 2-year-old. Door was open, though, and he walked, and both mom and dad were home, and he drowned.
Water is too attractive. You know, they want to go to it. You have played with them in the bathtub. They love it. They have no clue what the risks are. And they can slip and fall into it so quickly, and it doesn't take long for children to drown. You'll see caution.
There's water, and the head goes first into the bucket, and they drown.
Yes. You'll see safety on Home Depot and Lowe's buckets. All are marked with that. the planters that you buy at a nursery will have a warning sign on it, is to keep little children away from them, because not only can they fall in if there's water in it, if they fall in and can't get out, and they'll panic and kick and hurt themselves even more. So, yeah, it's those alarms, and you need to check. If your child's going to a friend's house, it is not a bad thing. Think about it as a parent of a teenager. Your child wants to go to a party. You want to call the parent up. We used to have a phone calling tree that if my own children, who are now in their 40s, but at the school, if they were going to a party, we had the phone list, and we'd call and say, is there anything my kid can bring? Yes, he's welcome to be there. And sometimes parents would say, what party? Ah, and somebody wasn't being straight about that. But I think you could make that same phone call if your children are invited on a boating adventure, or they are invited to a swimming adventure at their own pool. Will there be an adult present? Will there be somebody who's trained? Not just being an adult, but trained to know about it. And what you'll be doing is a gift to somebody who hadn't thought about that. You know, my kids are right there, and I'm in the house. Barbara, yeah. Now we need to have someone present. You start that very young, making sure that you're present, and then it can flow over to your neighbors. And some of them may not be happy with you, but you say, I want to keep my kids safe. And did you know that the number one cause for drowning for little ones is number one cause of death is drowning? To clue them into that. I love water. I love seeing my children and my grandchildren enjoy water. I love seeing kids at the little pool down the way here enjoying water. But I'm also vigilant, because I know the risks and the dangers that can be posed there. And not to be, you know, someone who's depressed about it. No, I want them to enjoy it, but I can enjoy it more if I know that my children and grandchildren and the neighbor's children are safe. And safety first is not just a slogan. Mm-hmm. That they have the skills. We're helping them with the skills. We make sure that they have the proper tools and not little floaties that can help them, and that they learn the basics of strokes for survival. And then after that, basic swim strokes, they get great joy out of it. It's a lifelong skill that they will always have, and then could share with their friends and then on to their own children.
Well, thank you, Barbara. You gave a lot of information, and I know the audience enjoy, and hopefully they've taken something back with them. Barbara's website is www.kidsareworthit.com. So she has a mountain of things on that website, so especially on parenting. So if you want to, and she has at least 7 books, too, that are very valuable. And one of them is called Kids Are Worth It.
Can't impress, Paulette, how important it is that online things, materials are there, free from your state, from resources, private resources, and also our government has some wonderful resources for a parent.
Thank you, Barbara.
Kids are worth it. You're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And hopefully we'll have you back in July.
All right. July's a little crazy, but I
well,
would love
not
to.
July,
you know, I always love
August.
To do it. Well,
yes,
I'm really happy.
I appreciate all that you do. And I may
have to take up
another cause.
What's that?
I may have to take up another cause. On this, those floaters need to be off the market.
Yeah.
I never had my grandchildren. Yes, my grandkids use those things. That's why I was shocked that it's on the market.
They need to go and get. They need to learn how to swim.
Yes, take swimming lessons.
And not only that, but we need to be tuned in while they're doing it. Those can make us lazy. They can make us lazy.
Yes.
And overconfident in a tool rather than, which is not a real tool, rather than being alert. And I'm hypervigilant around water. I have pulled too many people out.
Wow.
I pulled a drunk out once at a swimming pool here in Denver when I was just out of university. And he was vomiting in the water, and I had to go in and get him. And he pushed me away when I got him out. He just pushed his foot into me. And I thought, well, you know, that's just par for the course. He's just drunk. And he was.
Wow.
But it's public swimming pool, you know, public space. But you do it. You just do what needs to be done. But I got to tell you, Paulette, it's the only job I ever quit. I never quit a job. But I was shot at on the guard stand. A bullet went right past my arm. I got off that guard stand. There was a little, there was a takeover of swimming pools at that point in the 60s. And that's the only job. I got off of the guard stool and walked in and quit. I was a sitting duck.
That was
it. Only job I ever quit.
Wow.
Didn't want to share that on the... Yeah.
Unnatural.
No, we had a takeover.
Well, you just shared it all over the world.
Yeah. Oh, well, we were live on that.
Yeah, we're live, and it goes all Africa, Australia, Japan.
Ah, good. Well, you know, Japan has a very big emphasis. They're an island, and they have very strong swimming protocols for kids.
Yeah.
That they learn very young because they are an island.
Yeah.
They're surrounded, and kids' encounters with water is great. Okay, I'm going to let you go, Paulette. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.